Welcome back to another episode of Blessed Is She That Believe. Y'all are on season 4, episode 10. I titled this episode, Stand Down. So before we get into it, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Father God, for your glory and your majesty, Father. Father, we just come to you right now, Lord. Once again, we just ask that you just please forgive us of our sin, Father God. Lord, remove everything that is not of you out of the way, Father, so that way we can hear from you, so that way we can glean your word accurately, Lord. So we can glean your word, Lord, without skipping around the parts that make us feel uncomfortable because of sin, because we don't want to touch on that, because, you know, we don't want, Lord, no, let us rightly divide your word, Father God. Lord, I thank you right now for your protection. Thank you right now, Father God, for your wisdom. Lord, let us have your wisdom, all of it, Lord, that we need to be able to go through your word and see ourselves, Father God. But most importantly, Father, let us see Jesus in the midst of everything, Lord, always your son. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. All right, y'all, so hope y'all had a great week. Y'all, I'm exhausted. Let me tell y'all real quick before we get y'all, I am so tired. I have not, like, I think last night was the first night I really got some deep sleep. Like, I feel so rested, but I am so tired. It feels like I didn't get enough. You ever had, like, something to eat and it was so good, but you couldn't finish all of it right then? You had to wrap it up and put it away for later. I felt like I did that with my sleep when I woke up this morning to do this podcast. I was like, I need some saran wrap or something to save that. Y'all, that was... like I said, I haven't been sleeping. I have a lot of things going on. And so, like, my students are doing my interviews this week. And I always get, like, really nervous and a little... It's a little stressful because, you know, the logistics of organizing people to be where they're supposed to be. And then, of course, you're wondering, like, okay, is this going to work out? Am I going to have a, you got a backup plan in case this doesn't, you know, it's just, oh, geez, it's a lot. And so I'm just like, I just want it to be over with. And I'm kind of like, my big ideas get on my nerves because this is a huge idea. And last semester when we did this, which was the very first time we did it, I didn't realize all of the logistics that go behind it. And so, of course, experience bursts wisdom. And so now it's like, okay, we got this, this, and this, and this. And praise God, I had money through the school system to be able to get, like, gift bags, you know, like thank you bags for the interviewers. I have like almost 20 people coming throughout the course of the day. So, it's a big day. Like, this is a big thing. And I don't think my students really realize how big of a deal it is, because my students are like, look, we about to graduate. We'll have to, my students have 25 days left. So it's crunch time for them. And some of them are actually giving me the look. And if you don't know what look I'm talking about, okay, I'll tell you the look. The realization they're not coming back next year. Like, that this is over. I didn't have that until I was at graduation and it was almost over. And I'm like, wait a minute. It's really, that's when it hit me. It's like, this is really it. I still remember when I closed my eyes, I could still remember looking up in the stands and looking around like, I'm never going to sit in this gym again. And I still remember that. I still remember taking a moment and just looking around like, this is really over. There's no coming back after this. Like, this part of my life is over. And I I still remember that. And it was surreal. It was very surreal. And so there are a good bit of my students who have that look. And I have to reassure them, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. It's going to be fine. I have to reassure them, because if I don't, they just kind of like, they get stuck and they stand in one place and they literally will stand in one place and they will just, it's like they're processing, wait a minute, I only have 25 days. I don't have much time left. And I look at them, I'm like, I know, but you're going to be okay. Y'all, it's like, this is my first year teaching seniors, so I don't get to see this part. Now, before, when I taught sophomores, the seniors would come in, look, they would come looking for me, and they want to hang out, and I'm like, baby, you got to go. I'm like, you can't go back. You can't go backwards. You got to go forwards. And they would just reluctantly get up, and they just kind of look around the room like, but I'm going to miss this. And I'm like, I know you are. But now, being that I teach seniors, I get to see the whole process. And y'all, it break my heart. Because it's like, my babies are scared. So I got that going on too. It's a lot of stuff going on. So I haven't been sleeping as well as I should have. But last night, praise God. Oh my gosh, that sleep was so good. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for allowing me to get that sleep. But I'm still a little drowsy. So if y'all hear me yawning, I'm sorry. Because I'm about to yawn now. I'm sorry, y'all. But whew, it's been a... After, let me tell you something. After this week goes by, I might need to take a day or two. Because I'm going to need to get some sleep. And then I have something going on the day after the interview. Like, it's, and then it's Easter weekend. It's a lot going on this week. So just pray for you, girl. But I'm going to get back into this word. It's stand down. So that stand down is that's a term used. And usually stand down means to back down. I know in movies, like the military movies or, movies with like the SWAT team, you know, any kind of tactical unit movie, they, use that term when they don't want people to proceed with, shooting someone or engaging in, combat with somebody. They tell them to stand down, and it's a direct order coming from whoever's in charge, and they're usually yelling it. They're like, stand down, you know, trying to get somebody's attention. And so that's why I called it that, because I was reading in Chronicles, and I'm at the end of Chronicles. I have one more chapter left, and I'm gonna tell you, if you decide to read 1 and 2 Chronicles, I would say read 1 and 2 Kings. Now, that 1 and 2 Kings is going to take you a couple of months to get through. That's going to take a couple of months to get through, because 1 and 2 Kings includes Elijah, Ahab, Jezebel, and Elisha. Like, all of them are in it, on top of all of the backgrounds of the kings. The backgrounds of the kings comes into play in 2 Kings. But you need to know, like, the kings, the lives of the kings are in both places. 2 Kings or 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. So 1 and 2 Chronicles gives you the overview, like everything that went on. But 1 and 2 Kings kind of gives you a little bit more context. It gives you a little bit more context. It gives you some things that are not in 1 and 2 Chronicles. So you kind of got to flip back and forth between the two. It actually makes me want to go back through First and Second Chronicles, or more so Second Chronicles, where the kings come into play, and just kind of flip back and forth, because I didn't do a lot of flipping back and forth. I'm like, I just want to read the Chronicles. So, you know, I could be like, I read the Chronicles. I just want to go through Chronicles, and then I can go back and do the annotations and do all of that stuff. But I'm going to tell you, like, you really don't get the full scope until you do the flipping back and forth. So if you decide to read it, just know you need to flip back and forth. You may want to have your Bible in your hand and have one on the computer with maybe First, Second Kings on the computer, and your Bible flip the First, Second Chronicles. Like, however you want to set it up. But I'm telling you, like, that's going to be the best experience for reading the Chronicles and or Kings or both. So, where I stopped after Josiah, because Josiah made me mad. Let me tell you, it's a couple of kings that made me mad. And it's not the kings who were evil. The kings who, and I'm going to tell you why I wasn't the evil kings. The evil kings don't make me mad because they're evil. They're going to do evil things. Like, it's horrible what they did. Like, Manasseh, Hezekiah's son, Manasseh lost his ever-loving mind. I think he had the longest reign out of all the kings, I believe. Because I think Manasseh reigned for like 50 or almost 60 years. I know it wasn't 60, but I know it was over 50, I believe. I think he reigned for... let me look it up right now. Y'all know how I get. You know how I get. But Manasseh... He was evil. He made his son to pass through the fire, so he was sacrificing his son. Let's see. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. Yeah, 55 years. So, Manasseh was evil. You hear me? Don't ever name your child Manasseh. That joker was evil. That was the most evil king they ever had. I believe he was the most evil king they ever had. His father was Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah was a good king overall, but Hezekiah made me mad. Just to give you a summary of this little lineage here, I'm not going to go before Hezekiah because we ain't got time. And I'm not going to go after Josiah. Josiah is Hezekiah's grandson. Josiah's daddy was Manasseh, right? Okay, so Hezekiah was the king who prayed to God, and God turned the sun back. Like, he backed up time. Now, scientists and historians have determined that we are missing some time. In our time continuum, there is about a space of time that is unaccounted for. Where did that come from? Well, if you go to the Bible, you'll see where Hezekiah prayed and God held the sun up. Yeah, like, I'm telling you, like, okay, research it yourself. So, yeah, Hezekiah was a good king. He also prayed, and God extended his life another 15 years. Now, during this extension of his life, that's when he had Manasseh, okay? And you know what happened with a lot of times when people who are older have kids, them kids end up doing whatever they want to do because them people older, and they're like, I ain't got time for all that. Child, and this is what happened, Manasseh. There you go. No, I'm just playing. Isaac didn't turn out like that when Abraham and Sarah had him, and they were both up in years. So Isaac didn't turn out like that. But yeah, Hezekiah made me mad because Hezekiah was a good king, but he got arrogant when God gave him an extension on his life. First of all, the prophet Isaiah, I believe Isaiah was the prophet during his reign as king. Isaiah came and told him, like, look, you dying, okay? You dying, and God is about to take you home. So get your affairs in order. Hezekiah, instead of just saying, all right, Hezekiah turned to the wall and started boo-hoo crying, like sobbing. And God heard him And he told, because Isaiah had just left. So he told Isaiah, hey, turn around, go back and tell him, I'm going to give him some more time. And that's a whole sermon right there that I don't have time to get into. Because, no, it is sad. Like, but look at the grace God had for him to let him know it was about to be time for him to go. God gave him grace. I don't think God tells a lot of people when they're about to go. And it's grace for that. Because can you imagine if you knew? I remember my pastor just asked this rhetorical question to the congregation a couple of weeks ago. He said, can you imagine what life would be like if we knew the time and the date and the why and the how of when we die? We would not be able to live. Because some people pass away horrifically. Like, we wouldn't be able to live if we knew when we were going to die or if we knew how we were going to die. We would not be able to live. We would be in a constant state of fear. Like, we would probably die from the fear of knowing. So that's grace. God gives us grace. He covers us. But he also had grace for Hezekiah because I'm pretty sure, you know, with him being the king, it's like, you know what, let him know he about to go so he can put stuff in order for the next, you know, person coming up and everything. Hezekiah didn't even see it that way. He turned to the wall and cried. Like, he cried so bad. God was like, all right. And not that that made God want to do that. God has grace for us like that. That he'll give us what we want sometimes. Sometimes. Even though what we want can actually be our demise. And y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, that extra 15 years Hezekiah had, y'all, Hezekiah ain't care no more. I feel like Hezekiah got a little arrogant because he did some stupid stuff. He let the enemies come all up and through the palace. God told him, all right, this is what's about to happen now. And Hezekiah was like, I don't care. I ain't. Hezekiah was like, I don't care. I'm about to die anyway. Like, you already told me I only had 15. You was only giving me 15 years. By the time all this happened, I ain't going to be here. I don't care. Hezekiah was like, I don't care. Hezekiah had the most evil son ever. Like, little spawn of Satan. Manasseh was crazy. And he reigned for 55 years. 55 years. Well, Manasseh had Josiah. Josiah, let me flip back to my little page marker. Josiah, first of all, Josiah had about 2 chapters. Mm-hmm. He was 8 years old when he started reigning. See, Manasseh was 12 when he started reigning. Josiah was 8. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David, his father. And when they say their father, like, David was long gone by this time, but his ancestor walked in the ways of David, his father, and declined neither to the right nor the left. For in the 8th year, now this right here, I said, now, God always refers to David as a man after his own heart. Even after he fell with Bathsheba, David was a man after God's own heart. You hear me? But Josiah was giving David a run for his money because in verse 3 of chapter 34 of 2 Chronicles, it says, for in the 8th year of his reign, so he was about 16 years old because he started reigning at 8, right? So when he was about 16, it says, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And let me say this, Josiah didn't come in with the iron fist. Y'all get ready. Da, 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 da. No, he took his time. He took his time. Josiah took his time. Josiah started when he was 8 reigning. So his mom was probably the queen mother. So she probably had some legal right to the throne until he matured. You know, probably had a lot of counselors helping to run Jerusalem, run the kingdom and stuff like that. And so by the time he's 16, and I'm pretty sure this was the time where they were getting ready to turn everything over to him and allow him to have full authority as the king, he's seeking God of David, his father. Like, he wanted to know the one true living God. No, I want that one. I want the only one. So he starts seeking God for himself. Now, you have to understand. Oh, man, this is not where I was going. You have to understand that people don't buy in to what you're about fast. You know, like, I think about this podcast a lot in this situation because I tell a lot of people, I put it on social media, I tell people, I pass out little flyers when there are events. I have friends who still don't know I have a podcast. Y'all, this is the second year. I've been doing this for 2 years. I had someone say, "You have a podcast?" Like, recently in my inbox, because I did like a video story on my Facebook stories, sharing an experience I had with somebody that wasted my time. But anyway, and she jumped in my inbox like, "Oh my gosh, you are so funny. You need to have a podcast. Like, this is so podcast worthy." I said, "I do have a podcast." Like, it's just, and I know a lot of people like, it's the logistics. No, I don't care about logistics. Like, this is God ordained. And so when it's time, it'll be revealed. That's just how I see it. But I think about, like, before we had social media, before we had internet, how did people get things out? Mostly in a newspaper, or a television advertisement, on the radio. So, even still, people don't buy into things unless they see it for themselves, unless people recommend it, right? Word of mouth is where your advertising is going to come from. That's why it's so important to treat people right. Last night, for instance, I've been doing my best. I have started and I'm praise God. The Lord has started changing my appetite because, y'all, I gotta get this weight off. Even though I'm like 18,000 feet tall, it's still, you know, like, even though I could carry it, my body's like, just because you could carry it well don't mean that it's healthy. You know what I'm saying? So, working on changing my eating and stuff. So I actually had some, chicken wings for the very first time this year. I know, right? Like, I'm really working on staying away from all things like greasy and stuff. And, but last week was spring break, so I'm still trying to like readjust and get back to what I was doing before spring break. So I did have some chicken wings and some french fries. I asked for the fries without salt. Now, I went to a food truck and, I'm gonna shout them out real quick. 95 Wings. Oh my gosh. 95 Wings is a food truck here in Brunswick, Georgia. And their wings are so good. if you like chicken wings fried hard, y'all. Oh my gosh. And they have crinkle fries. They have crinkle fries. Because I'm not gonna say anything. All I'm gonna say is, if you don't have crinkle fries with your wings, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because why don't you have crinkle fries with your wings? That is crazy, but I digress. We got to get back to the word of God, okay? But I'm just making a point. So, and I know they get good business. I do. I know they get good business, even though they just started popping up, I think, last year. I could be wrong. They could have been popping up other places, but I know for me, I just began to see them last year. So anyway, they park out there at Bill Duckworth, in case you're ever in Brunswick, Georgia. 95 Wings, black food truck with 95, you know, Interstate 95 sign thing on it, and it says 95 wings. So anyway, I wanted to get some wings, and I asked for my wings without the seasoning salt. And he said, okay, cool. I had called my order in. So when I got up there, he was like, he called me. He said, hey, I am so sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I accidentally put salt on your, seasoning salt on your fries. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna fix you a brand new order. You come get this, and you just take the brand new, cause I want your stuff to be fresh. I want it to be done right, and I want it to be fresh. When I tell you, customer service experience is on point, and it's family owned business. It's him and his wife. And I actually, he went to Brunswick High when I was a secretary there. So I still remember signing, like his mama coming to check him out of school. So I remember that. So I'm going to support him. You know what I'm saying? It's him and his wife. They're young. They got a little boy, little toddler. You know what I'm saying? They all on the food truck working. Well, the toddler, he not working. He playing with his toys, but it's family oriented. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love it. I love to see it. And I had two orders of 10 piece wings, which I had a reason for getting 10 piece wings, because I knew I was going to eat all of that. I only had 4 wings. Praise God, because I used to eat a whole 10 piece wing. I don't eat all that food no more. So I was like, I'm going to save some of this for after church. But yeah, I had 2 orders of 10 piece wings and fries, y'all. So I'm like, I can't eat all it. Like, I was like, oh Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I got an overflow of blessings, you know. So I called up my mom's hairdresser. She's not even my hairdresser, but she's like my big sister. I called her up. I was like, hey, I got an order of honey lemon pepper wings. I need, like, do you want them? Because I got to find somebody to get these to. Like, I don't know who else to get these to. And she said, no, my daughter eat them tomorrow after church. I said, okay, cool. I'm bringing them to your house. Got them to her house. She said, what's funny is, we were just talking about some honey lemon pepper wings. She said, now, where did you get these from? And I said, I got them from 95 Wings. So she said, I've been wanting to try them. Y'all. One blessing turned into another blessing. And so now she's like, she said, somebody else told me about them and said they're really good. She said, now, she said, this is delicious. She said, yeah, I'm going to make sure I make it a point to go get food from him when I want wings. So the buy-in, that's what I was trying to get to, the buy-in. Until somebody actually tries it for themselves, it's like they won't buy in, because you're not credible to them. They have to be persuaded. So now 95 Wings, you got some more customers, okay? But yeah, like the buy-in, Josiah didn't just come in making all these changes. No. He had to buy into God first. He had to seek God out first. He sought God out and he found him. That's how, y'all, we can stay right there. And this is not like, we can stay right there. When you search God out, you're going to find him. You will find him. You will find him, because the Bible says that. If you search for me, you'll find me. It says that. It literally does. It says, if you search for me with all your heart, you will, hold on, let me find that. Let me find it real quick. It says, if you will seek me with your whole heart, Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's the NIV version. I want to actually find that in my Bible. Y'all, I got my real Bible out today. Not that I have a fake Bible, but I mean like paper Bible. You know, I'm not using my computer. So, let me do something different. Yep, Jeremiah 29:13. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And it tells us, that in verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And it tells us in verse 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David, his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And I'm also going to go back to 2 Kings. Because it tells you what kind of king this person was at the very beginning. And it says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. This is in 2 Kings chapter 22. And walked in all the ways of David, his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. That means he never wavered in his belief. He never wavered away from God. So, yeah, 1st and 2nd Kings kind of just gives you a brief overview, but the Chronicles is where you get the details of everything. However, there are some details that you get, little tiny pieces that you get in 1st and 2nd Kings. But Josiah did that, and then it says in the 12th year. So, in the 8th year of his reign, when he was 16, he sought out God. And then 4 years later, because that was his 8th reign, which when he was 16, so 4 years later, which would be his 12th year reigning, when he was 20, is when he began to purge all of Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carving. He got all of the idols out. He purged the land. Okay. What was happening between year 8 and year 12? Strategy. He sought the Lord out. He had to get himself right. He had to go through a process first. See, that's the thing. When people get in the power, authority, and get that power, they want to just change everything without themselves going through a process. You can't do that if you want to win the heart of the people. You can't. This is not what I was. You can't go in and just want to change everything and uproot stuff, and you hadn't gone through a process yourself. Don't nobody want to buy into that, because they looking at you like, who are you? You don't do this. How you going? That's almost like, have you ever, y'all, oh, I'm not trying to step on the toes. I really am not. Have you ever seen, I'll say it this way. Have you ever seen someone who is in a shape trying to tell someone how to do something physically fitting? I'm really trying, because, and we know life half is okay. Okay. So like, for instance, my former basketball coach, Coach Thomas, any former players of Coach Thomas, you know what I'm talking about. Coach Thomas would have us run from the Brunswick High Gym. Back in the day, the Brunswick High Gym, when Brunswick High was still on Habersham Street, she'd have us run from Brunswick High Gym all the way through Jane Macon parking lot, across the street of Altama, to the college, to the trail. The college trail was about 2 miles. Maybe it was a mile and a half. Don't matter to me, because I never made it all the way through. I was tired. I hate running. I have hated running since I was a kid. I never liked to run. She had us run all the way from Brunswick High Gym through Jane Macon parking lot, because Brunswick High and Jane Macon basically sat on the same piece of land, but Jane Macon was on the other side facing Altama. Brunswick High was on the back side facing Habersham. But you could literally run through. It was a field that was between Brunswick High and Jane Macon. So you could run from Brunswick High all the way through that field, and you'd be in Jane Macon property, right? We run all through that, across the street, the main street of Brunswick, Georgia. Altama runs from the north end to the south end. That's the main road to travel in Brunswick. We run all the way through that and get to the college, which was across the street, run through the parking lot of the gym to the where the trails start at the college, run the trail. Trail was a mile and a half. Now, we already done ran about half a mile to get there. Run it, and run all the way back to the Brunswick High gym and then have to run the stairs and lift weights. But you know what? You know what? Our coach ran with us. Our coach would run it with us and beat half of us big. And she was in her 40s. Y'all, when I tell you shamed, and was running all the way back and beat us. One thing I will always respect about Coach Thomas. I don't care what anybody say. I respected Coach Thomas because she didn't just say she did. She doesn't just say she does. Back, she, listen, would get on the court with us sometimes, whoop our behind, and make us run some stairs because we let her whoop our behind. Coach Thomas did not play with us. Let me tell you something. Her name preceded her, okay? Her name preceded her. Coach Thomas did not just say she did, okay? So, I gotta hurry up, y'all. I didn't even get to what I was what I'm saying is, Josiah didn't just, he came up with strategy and everything. He didn't just go into this position and just start destroying stuff and moving stuff out the way. Y'all gonna do this. No. He searched out God first. If your leader, if your authority figure is not seeking God, you need to be praying for him anyway, but you really need to be praying for him, because if that is not someone who has a heart for God, you in trouble. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Y'all, I did not, that's what happened when you ask the Holy Spirit to come in and say what he need to say through you. So this is really what I wanted to talk about. And I don't even know how much time I have. Oh my gosh. Okay. I got time. Cool. So, Josiah, the reason why this is staying down is because this is where Josiah messed up. This is why I get so mad at these kings who were seeking God at the beginning. You ran well, you was doing good, but then you messed up. And Josiah, it's after reading this account about Josiah, this is the only time like where we see he really messed up. Josiah is the reason why Passover came back. Josiah cleared the land of the idols. Like, he didn't try to hide the idols. He didn't allow certain people to do it still. No, he purged the land. Josiah, when they found the book of the law and they read it, Josiah rent his clothes. Like, he tore his clothes and he wept before the Lord and he sought out the Lord's face. The Lord brought judgment on Jerusalem, Israel, Judah. He brought judgment, but he said, Josiah, you're not going to see any of it. You won't see any of it because your heart was humbled before me and you sought me out in prayer. You're not going to see any of it, but judgment will come on them after you're gone. When I tell you Josiah was a good king, he gave David a run for his money as far as being a good king. Like, honestly. So Josiah, in verse 20 of 2 Chronicles chapter 35. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Charchemish. I'm pretty sure I'm butchering that, but just bear with me. By Euphrates. And Josiah went out against them. Now, I want to pause right there, because it says Josiah went out against them. Now, what happened is the king of Egypt had beef with somebody else. He had beef with Josiah. He had beef with somebody else. But apparently, they may have been in the area. You know, like, they may have been in close proximity. So Josiah just went out. Notice Josiah did not pray and ask God, should he go out against them? Okay. Usually in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel are facing an enemy, when they're facing someone, they pray and say, God, should we go up against them? And God will say yes or no. That's usually how this works. Remember when I talked about, Joshua. That's too many J names. When I talked about Joshua in last season, and who was the sin of Achan? Achan, that's right. After the Tower of Babel, after Jericho. It's too many J names. After the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. I'm gonna end up singing that song. But after that victory, and God had all those specific instructions, basically, don't touch none of this stuff. It's a curse. It belongs to me. I want this, da 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 da. Well, Achan snuck some stuff out of Jericho without anybody knowing. He hid it in his tent. Joshua, of course, did not know this. So, being that Jericho was such a huge victory, they came up against Ai. Pretty sure I'm mispronouncing that too. I'm sorry. Ai was a little rinky-dink group. And so, you know, it's the children of Israel. It's like, they loaded. You know, they got a lot of people. They don't even have to send everybody. They just send like a little fraction and they still will win, you know? So Joshua didn't pray. He just sent people out. And that little bitty old tribe of Ai whooped they behind. And Joshua like, hold up now, wait a minute. But see, Joshua did not pray. Joshua did not pray. He did not ask God, should they go up against Ai? We're seeing that right here with Josiah. It says Josiah went out against them. Did you pray first, Josiah? Man after God's own heart, part two? No, he did not. So, verse 21. The king of Egypt sent ambassadors to him, saying, what have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against you this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not. Now, let me tell you something. This is the king of Egypt. The Egyptians had about 11 million gods. So what God is he talking about? And it's capitalized. The G is capitalized in the King James Version. So you got a heathen who's talking about God is with me and I ain't got nothing to do with you. So you need to stop meddling with God's business. Y'all, don't you hate it when people who don't have, when you know they don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's not that you standing back observing their life and you assume. No, they have actually proclaimed they do not have a relationship with Jesus and they telling you a word from God. Ain't that the craziest thing? You sitting there looking like you don't even go to church and you got a word. You want to know why? Because the Lord can use anybody because we're all vessels. The Lord can use anybody and anything. He used the donkey to talk to the prophet who was trying to curse the children of Israel. Balaam, I think that was his name. So why he can't? God can use anybody and anything to share his word. That's why this is called stand down. Because he is literally telling him, stand down. Stop meddling with God's. When you get in God's affairs and it's none of your business, you are asking for trouble. You are asking for trouble. That is not your battle. That is not your business. Stand down. What you trying to fix? Like the Lord said to Job. He said to Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Were you there? Gird up your loins like a man. This man, this king of Egypt, said, what have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against you this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy you not. I got to find this, and I need to look for this and Amplify. Now, being that he's the king of Egypt, he could have been talking about one of his gods. He literally could have been talking about like one of his gods, but this is the King James Version, and I'm looking, the G is capitalized, like, and it's not, he's not saying gods, he's saying God, like the God that we're talking about. And when I read the commentary, they were saying, well, he was probably talking about one of his many gods, but I just, it's hard for me to accept that. Not that it can't be right, but it makes me feel like he had knowledge of God, because how do you speak in that kind of authority unless you had knowledge of God? See, the thing is, what we have to realize as believers, just because people don't go to church does not mean that they're stupid. Just because people do not read the Bible according to how we read the Bible does not mean they're stupid. They may be ignorant of some things because they're not studying the word, because they don't, you know, that's not their primary focus or whatever. And when I say ignorant, I mean like unaware. I'm not saying stupid. Okay. Ignorant means you're unaware. You're willfully unaware. Like you don't want to know. So, we have a bad habit, those who go to church regularly, of assuming because people aren't in church that they have no knowledge. No, some of the people, let me tell you something. Some of the best Bible scholars are atheists. Because if you're going to disprove something, you got to know what you're disproving, right? If you got to make a point in a stand that God is not real, you got to know what you're talking about. So of course you're going to study the Bible so you can like argue against it. Duh. How else are you going to make a stand? You can't argue something if you don't know anything about it. Although you do have a lot of people out there who try to do that. They have no idea what they're talking about, and it makes them look very very less intelligent. So most Bible scholars are people who do not believe God. Isn't that crazy? But once again, you have to know what you're arguing against. So this man, it says, but, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version, but Necho sent messengers to the Josiah saying, what business do we have with each other, O King of Judah? I am not coming against you today, but against the house with which I am at war, and God has ordered me to hurry. And God, and it says God, capital G, in the Amplified too. Stop for your own sake from interfering with God who is with me, so that he will not destroy you. God always sends a warning to us when we're getting ready to do something stupid. If you look back on your dumbest decisions, the things that actually altered the course of your life, if you look back, because some, you know, this the past month and a half, I've been reflecting on my decisions, and I'm like, like, why were you stupid? And you know, of course, you give yourself some grace because you are not in the same mindset that you're in now. I mean, obviously, if you were, you wouldn't see a problem with what you did. The fact that you see a problem with what you did tells you that you're in a different mind state. So I looked up back on some of the decisions I made, and I was like, what in the world, girl, were you doing? No. But a lot of our horrible decisions that we have made, God sent us a warning before we made those decisions. Now, he sent the warning, but did we see it? Did we hear it? Probably not, because we already had our mind made up. Josiah already had his mind made up. And in verse 22, nevertheless, that doggone nevertheless, I tell you, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him. So you put on, if you have to hide it, it's wrong. That is the lesson. If you have to hide it, it's wrong. He disguised himself in order to fight against him. He did not listen to the words of Necho from the mouth of God. It really did come from God. He wasn't talking about one of the multi gods like Horus or Raw or the other ones, Osiris. He wasn't talking about none of them. He was talking about the one true living God. This one true living God, this one, the only one, told me to come here and fight against that man. I have nothing to do with you. This ain't even your place. Why you out here? Get away from me before you meddle with God's business, because God wanted me to take care of this real quick. This has nothing to do with you. So why was Josiah? Because you know what? Josiah didn't pray. The same Josiah that sought out God in his eighth year of reigning as king. The same Josiah who rent his clothes and was on his face before God, begging mercy, praying for his kingdom. The same Josiah who did all of that, who found favor with God. That same Josiah who brought the Passover back and got rid of all of the idols, who walked after God, who didn't turn to the left nor to the right. That same Josiah has now decided to take matters into his own hands. And he disguised himself. Notice what happened with Adam and Eve after they had the fruit. What did they do? They hid themselves. Always before you go into a bad decision, you hide yourself because you don't want to be seen, because you know it's wrong. Y'all, I can think about every decision I made that was not a good decision. It was, y'all, ooh, child. Who they creeping around at night, boy, I tell you. If you got to creep around at night, go home. Go home. Listen, if you are creeping around, and I'm telling you from experience, because I used to do it and I am not ashamed, because that's not, I don't live there no more. Praise God. If you creeping around at night, go home. You creeping around it. I'm going to say it one more time. If you are creeping around at night, go home. Stand down. This is the warning. This is the warning. Stand down. If you are creeping around at night, go home. Go to your home, wherever your home is, go to your home and stay there. Do not creep around it. Y'all, I promise, somebody's going to send me an email telling me, you know what, I heard your podcast, so you said if you creeping around at night, go home. Somebody's going to send me an email saying, I heard that podcast and I did not stand down. I went and did whatever I was doing and I got in trouble. I'm telling you right now, this is the same way. I know this is the Holy Spirit speaking through me, because this is the same thing that happens when I'm at work and I'm talking to certain students. When they stay after class and they have questions to ask me, and the Holy Spirit just starts speaking through me to my babies. And I'm like, I don't know what you in, but you need to stop. And I'm going to tell you right now, and it's crazy because I have pictures of my students on the wall. They always want to take pictures with me. So they think it's a, I don't know what it is, but they're like, having a picture on my wall is a big deal to my students. They want their picture on my wall. They want, you can't, a photo album ain't cutting it. It's not on the wall. They want their stuff on the wall. I got to find space. Y'all, I have pictures of students on my wall. I had this conversation with them. Same kind of conversation I'm having right now, because I know it's the Holy Spirit. And some of these kids, just about every single one of them got locked up. Didn't listen. I'm telling you right now, if you are, I don't know who this is for, but if you are creeping around, I don't know what you could be doing a number of things at night creeping around. Whatever you're doing at night, you need to stop it. This is the warning. Isn't it funny? This is probably your first time listening to this podcast. I don't know who I'm talking to. This is probably your first time listening to the podcast. You just saw the logo and was like, let me click on this. Stand down. What does that mean? You turned it and you skipped up until this point. You skipped all the way up until the point where I started talking about Josiah disguised himself. And you started listening to it. And you creep around at night. It's with somebody's spouse. You creeping around with somebody's spouse. You stop. Stop it.
I don't know what your other situation and stuff like that is. Stop it. Don't do it no more. This is the warning. This is the warning. This is the warning that you need it. Because you've been feeling guilty anyway. You've been feeling guilty anyway. And you contemplated ending the relationship, but you kept it going because you didn't want to give it up, because you actually do care for the person, but that's not love. Because if it was love, oh Jesus, if it were love, they wouldn't put you in that situation. They don't love themselves either. They don't love their spouse. They don't love themselves. Actually, they love themselves a lot. They're selfish. That person is selfish. And they want to have whatever they want to have. The person is not going to leave their spouse for you. They are not. And if you do not back down, it is not going to end well for you. Jesus. Jesus. I could see the spouse finding the emails. I could see the spouse picking up the phone. It is not going to end well for you. I'm telling you right now, from what the Holy Spirit is showing me, you need to back down. Do not answer the phone. And it's going to be hard, because when you trying to cut ties with the enemy, he sends everything after you. The person is going to try and blackmail you because of the photos that have been sent. The person going to try and blackmail you because of the emails that have been sent. I don't know if you've been sending the emails off your work email or whatever, but you need to back down. You need to back down right now. Whoo, Jesus. You've been creeping at night. Y'all, it's some others that's been creeping too. I was out there. Always sneaking. Always got to have a story to cover up. That's not like, how are you saying you're living your best life? That's a lie from the pits of hell. That's the lie the enemy wants you to see so he can keep you there. Let me tell you now, I was just talking to somebody about this. Let me tell you right now. I have so much peace. I have so much peace with Jesus. You know, it's a 5-foot teddy bear in the bed with me. But guess what? I got so much peace. I got all my books, everything. I don't want nothing else. Yeah, I desire to be married. I desire to have a family. Yeah, of course. But peace? I ain't got to worry about where you been, why you ain't answer the phone, why he said it like that. I don't have to worry about none of that stuff. None of it. It's just me and Jesus. All I gotta do, Jesus, why you put that in the Bible? That's it. And he gonna answer me. I don't have to worry about where Jesus is. He right here. I ain't gotta worry about where the Lord is. He right here. Holy Spirit too. All of us just hanging out together. I ain't gotta worry about all that. I don't have all that stress. Let me tell you something. When it's not right, it's stressful. If you have, when it's not saying that you could be in a godly relationship. You could be in a godly relationship and you have some stress, but that's different. That's different. Because anytime you have people coming together from different backgrounds, it's going to be a little friction there. That's friction. That ain't stress. Stress is where you can't eat. You overthinking and da-da-da-da-da-da, you anxiety kicking. That's stressful. I don't got to deal with that. I don't have to deal with that. You know, I just told my mom this yesterday. I was having a moment when I was trying to get ready to get out of the house. And I was thinking about the time I wasted with these guys over the years. And I actually realized I do have a type of guy. I always said I don't have a type. You know, when that song came out, like, I ain't got no type. Like, that's a lie. Because what you're describing is a type. I hate that song. Anyway, I always said I never had a type. Because I'm like, I don't see it. I saw it yesterday. I said, yeah, my type is idiot. And it's no offense to the people. I was in a different mindset. I really was. I was... The trauma that I went through was coming out. I had so much bitterness and resentment, and it was just ugly. It was just ugly. And because of that, it distorted my outlook. So of course I was picking up people who were broken and, you know, whatever. I was allowing all of that. So I have a type. It's the people who are broken so I could fix them, because obviously I thought I was Barbara the Builder. And I retired the tool belt. Yes, I said, I ain't doing this no more. I not only retired the tool belt, I burnt it. I was like, I ain't doing it no more. Like, I ain't dealing with no potential. You got to be fully potentched. If you're not fully potentched, I don't want you. Like, I want somebody who is not just potential, but fully potentched. Like, you like, I, and you know what? All the dudes, and when I say all the dudes, y'all don't, I'm just saying collectively, not like, it wasn't a lot, okay? Just don't. But the guys that I wasted my time with, all of them were handsome. Well, no, they were, okay, whatever. They were, for the most part, they were handsome. They had swag. They could walk into any room. Like, they just had it. You know what I said yesterday? I was like, I don't even want that no more. I don't want that no more. I don't want them to give me the lames. Give me the ones who know how to sit down somewhere and worship the Lord. Give me the church mouse men. Give me the ones who look lame to the world. Those the that's who I want. That's who I want. Because at this point in time, at this grown age, I ain't got time to be disturbing my peace. Give me somebody who look peaceful. I don't care if all he want to do is just sit there and read a book. I'll read a book too. I'll be quiet too. Just give me somebody who gonna bring peace into my home. Cause I already got the peace. You gotta bring peace too. Whatever I got, you gotta bring it too. You gotta ante up. If I got it, you gotta have double. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, bring me somebody who knows how to be respectful, who knows how to honor his mother and father. Bring me somebody who is patient. Bring me somebody who knows how to use kind words, who knows how to speak a word in due season. Bring me somebody like that. Like, that's who I want. Because I don't want what I was wanting no more. Like, I could really see it yesterday. I said, I do have a type. They're all idiots. Like, I was an idiot too. It was a bunch of idiots just hanging out with each other. Like, what in the world? Y'all, it's like I could see it so clearly now. And I'm like, what was I doing? But I gave myself grace because I wasn't in the same mind frame that I'm in now. And I'm just going to say, like, if you are hiding, Josiah disguised himself. Let me tell you something. You got to put that much effort into doing the wrong thing, then don't do it because it's wrong. If you got to put that much effort into it, he had to go find something to disguise himself just to go fight. If God wanted you to do it, it wouldn't be where you got to hide it. You wouldn't have to hide it. You'd be able to do it with a clear conscience. Y'all. But he was just so set in his ways. I'm going to go out there and fight him. He going to tell me what to do. He did not listen to the words of Necho from the mouth of God, but came to fight against him on the plain of Megiddo. The archers from Necho's army shot King Josiah because he was disguised. And that's another reason. The very thing that you're covering up is going to be the very thing that kills you. Jesus! It's going to be the very thing that ends you. Because the thing that he put in place was the thing that got him killed. Because they wouldn't have shot a king. You know, that's the king. They would have just took him hostage. Like, hey, it's Josiah. You want us to kill him? No, I told him not to be down here. Get him out of here. You know, y'all go get him and get him out of here. You know, like, they probably would have wounded him, but not mortally. No, because he was disguised, they didn't know who he was. The archers shot him with the bows. They shot him with the bow and arrow. And the king said to his servants, take me away, for I am badly wounded. So his servants took him out of the chariot, carried him in a second chariot, which he had, and brought him to Jerusalem, where he died and was buried in the tombs of his fathers. All of Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Then Jeremiah sung a lament, funeral song for Josiah, Jeremiah the prophet. And all the male and female singers have spoken about Josiah in their laments to this day. They made songs and ordinance in Israel. Behold, they are written in the Lamentations 4:20. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his deeds of devotion and godly achievements as written in the law of the Lord and his acts from the first to the last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. And that's how his life ended, in disobedience. A lot of times God will use people that you don't deem worthy enough to speak a word into your life, and you won't listen because it's not coming from somebody that you deem credible. The Lord can use somebody who is unhoused. He can use an unhoused person. He can use a mentally disabled person. He can use anybody and anything he wants to use. But are you listening to the word of God? Do you have enough discernment and wisdom to know that's the voice of God and he's using this person? I remember the Lord using my students to speak over me. They don't even know. This year has been a year. I tell you, my students don't even know how much that blessed me. At one point, a few weeks ago, the Lord allowed my students all day to tell me how much of a wonderful mother I'm going to be. How good I'm going to be to my kid. Like, it was crazy. It was crazy. Like, and when I say crazy, I mean, like, it was like, wow, where is this coming from? He used my students. Sometimes he uses my students to speak to me. He's used my students last year. He had my students tell me I'm going to be, he said, they kept for a while, different classes. It was never the same student. It was different students. Throughout the course of a week, Miss Cooper, you're gonna be a speaker. Miss Cooper, you're gonna be a speaker. You're gonna be speaking to me. You a preacher, Miss Cooper? Let me tell y'all something. That thing scared. Oh, whoa! You need to stop that, cause I ain't no preacher. Like everybody who believes in Jesus is a preacher. You know, like everybody is supposed to be giving the gospel out. Like we all hope this is a joint responsibility. Like when you say preach, what? Like, cause listen. I pray and ask God to open my ears every day so I can hear his voice. I'm not just talking about him speaking directly to me. His voice might come through somebody else. I need to be aware of that. I need to have the discernment to discern that. It doesn't have to be in the church. It could be in Walmart. I've had people come up to me when I was working at Bath and Body Works. I will never forget this. It was a married couple. I can't even remember what they looked like. But I remember they came up to me when I was checking them out. They said, you know, the Lord sent us here today to talk to you. This was over 10 years ago. This might be 15 years ago. They said, the Lord sent us up here to talk to you and just tell you it's going to be okay. Don't worry about who you're going to marry. Like, just, he's going to send somebody. He's going to send somebody. He just sent us in here to encourage you. I know, like, y'all, that stuck with me. I had my goddaughter, she was the youngest until, you know, her baby sister came along. But at the time she was the youngest. She and her brother and her sisters were over here hanging out with me. She comes in my room asking me who the toys were for, if they were for the twins. Get out my house. Because she was four. She was four, y'all. I said, you can't come back to my house no more. She hadn't been back to my house because I'm like, Cause she getting over here prophesying. Where's this baby come from? Y'all, the Lord will use anybody and anything he wants to get his word across to you. Now, if you listen, that's on you. If you don't listen, that's on you. You got to have your ears open. The Lord used somebody who doesn't even worship God like that, but he knew it was the voice of God and he was being obedient. But the person who rinse his clothes and gets on his face and prays and seeks God out. He chose to be disobedient. Isn't that crazy? God used a heathen. And the Bible tells us God is angry at the wicked every day in Psalm chapter 7. Psalm chapter 7, he says God is angry at the wicked every day. Every day. But he chose this person to do his will. God, let me tell you something. It's not all about us. It's not all about us. God used somebody at Cracker Barrel last year to pay for my food. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, because I was like, why that lady keep looking at me? Holy Spirit instantly spoke to me and said, I'm talking to her about you and she'll be over at your table in a few minutes. No lie. She came to my table, picked up my ticket and said, you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that was the end of 2023. Yeah. Yeah. It's on my TikTok. I did a whole count. Listen, because the Holy Spirit was trying to let me know, I don't just talk to you. I talk to other people too. I'm not just here for you. We get so caught up in our own selves. We start thinking, God don't talk to nobody else but me. I'm special. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. But I'm going to tell you right now. That word came from the Holy Spirit. I don't do that. I don't speak unless the Lord tell me to speak. Because I ain't trying to be like these people in the Bible. And the Lord said, I didn't send them. I don't speak unless the Lord tell me to speak. And I could hear that loudly. I could see it. And it's like, I could see your hands on the keyboard looking at the computer and everything around you is dark. It's like you're sitting at the computer typing in the dark. You're in darkness. You're in darkness and the Lord wants you to come out. And let me tell you something. Isn't this crazy? Nobody can see you listening to nobody. Nobody knows who it is because I don't even know who that is. But I know it's a woman because it's like I could see your hands on the keyboard and I could see the acrylic nails. Your nails are red. I could see that from the glow of the computer. I could see it. Nobody knows who it is. He's not going to leave her. He's not going to leave her for you. He's not. And right now you're starting to feel agitated and defiant. That's the enemy. That's your flesh. That's your flesh. It's coming from embarrassment. It's coming from realization that it's true. And the thing is, you're by yourself. Nobody knows that it's you. Because God in his infinite mercy and wisdom and his infinite love, he has an everlasting love for you. He doesn't want you to be hurt. He doesn't want you to be hurt, but God will chastise those he loves. And he has this kind of grace that covers, his love covers a multitude of sin. He wants you to come back to him because he loves you. He's not going to lie to you. He's not going to hurt you. I know him for myself. He's not going to hurt you. He's perfect in every single way. He's always been there with you. Even when you were with that man, he's always been there with you. Watching, praying. Jesus has been there praying on your behalf, praying, asking God not to allow his wife to come, praying for your salvation because he knows that you were hurt and he knows that you've been doing this out of a hurt place. So he's begging you to come back. He's begging you to stop. And that's the warning. Stop. Stop. It's not going to end well for you. So stop. And it's going to be hard because that man knows your every move because that's what the enemy does. And he's even right now starting to feel a tug. He's probably getting ready to text you or call you as you're listening to this. He's probably getting ready to text or call you because the spirit is connected because y'all have been together. That's how that works. So he's going to start feeling you pull away from him, but don't worry about that. You just keep trusting God. You get into the word. If it's Sunday, wherever you are, go to church. Get somebody to pray for you. Get somebody to pray for you. Wherever you are, just stop and pray. You ain't even got a church. Just stop and pray. Just say Jesus. If that's the only thing you can say, just speak the name of Jesus. He knows. Just speak Jesus. Just start calling out to Jesus. Just call out to him. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now for this podcast. I thank you, Father God, for your work, for your will and your way being done through me, Father God. I just thank you right now in this moment, Father, for whoever this is for. I pray right now, Lord, that you release your love. You release your peace over this person right now, Father God. Father, I pray right now that you break every soul tie, Father, with your anointing, Father God, because your anointing breaks yokes. Father God, break the yoke of bondage. Break the yoke of resentment. Break the yoke of bitterness and heartbreak right now. Break every yoke and every chain, Lord, that's linking this person to the other person, Father God. Father, I pray right now that you block every retaliating spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Jesus over this listener right now, Father God. Just take over her mind, Lord. Let the mind of Christ be in her right now, Father. Protect her on all sides, Father God. Hide her under your feathers, Lord. Father God, give her the desire to chase you and not men. Give her the desire to fill up on you, Father God. Let her fill up on your word, Lord. Let her just fill up on everything that is of you, Lord. Blind her eyes to going back, Father. Cut every tie. Burn every bridge that leads back to destruction. Father God, let her walk the narrow way that leads to life. Lord, let her not be like Lot's wife. You told us to remember Lot's wife, Father God. She was the only woman in the Bible you told us to remember. You said, remember Lot's wife. Father God, let her not look back. Let her not look back. Father God, I just thank you for every time I went back, because there was a lesson in me going back, Father God, even though you told me not to, and I still did it anyway. Father God, I thank you for taking each and every time as a lesson that can be used on this podcast, Father God. Thank you for using my life, Lord, and my examples and the things that I went through, the hardships, Lord, that I have gone through as lessons, Father God, for this podcast. Thank you for using my life as an example, Father God, of your grace and your mercy and your love for us, Father God. How you relentlessly pursue us, Father God, even when we push you away. Father, I thank you right now. Thank you, Father God, for loving this world so much. You sent your son to die for us so we can have everlasting life. That you did not send him to the world to condemn us, Father God, but that we through him may be saved. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Father, for your peace, which surpasses all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds, Father. I thank you for your grace, which is sufficient for us. Father God, I thank you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. So that's the end this week, y'all. Next week is Easter. I'm going to forego the podcast. You know, it's Easter Sunday. Y'all spend that time with your families, Lord, and with the Lord. And I'll be back the week after Easter. So whatever week that is, I'll be back the week after. But y'all take care and stand down. When the Lord gives us an order, just stand down on that. Y'all have a good day.